Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com on this Saturday morning. So we've been talking about professional relationships and personal relationships. And what about family relationships? My mom and dad from the great town of Hampton, Illinois, where it's 75 degrees and sunny every day, 365 days a year at 4th Street A. They're with us today. A lot of people know my mother and my father, who attend a lot of Ty Taylor's events when he was a Mercer County Golden Eagle, and Tess Taylor's event, of course, she currently plays. So I begin my conversation this morning with my mother. Good morning, Mom. Say hi to everyone.
Hi, Jim.
Now, a lot of people know you from your days at the, or your current days at the resale shop, right?
Right. There's a lot of people from out here.
Now, you know, here with our buy, sell, and trade program, which used to be called Tradio, there would be people that would try to call in that maybe owned resale shops, and they would try to sell some of their products through buy, sell, trade, or Tradio. That is a big no-no. So we appreciate the resale shop up in Moline on 23rd Avenue or the Avenue of the Cities. Don't do that. So, all right. So we carry the Illini. We carry the Cardinals. So I'm going to begin our conversation today. Best Cardinal manager, Whitey Herzog, Tony La Russa, or Mike Matheny?
Mike Matheny.
What? Dad, what about you?
I like the white rat, Whitey Herzog.
All right. So, well, I think most of the Cardinal fans would be going, your mother is crazy, saying Mike Matheny is the best manager. All right, Lou Henson, Lon Kruger, Bruce Weber, John Gross, or Brad Underwood?
Lou Henson, for sure.
I think Lou Henson, although I've grown a fondness so far for Brad Underwood.
All right. Well, let's talk about your connection to Mercer County / Aledo / WRMJ, which is through your son, of course.
Right.
So my dad wants to have like a regular hunting and fishing show on here, right? Should we do that?
That Tom's is correct.
We used to have John's a show. We used to have a show called Dan's Fish and Tales with Dan Galusha. But a little bit about your connection. My dad always tells me when I tell him about certain landscape out here, I'm like, well, this person has a farm pond or whatever. What do you think you could call him and see if I could fish out there? I think Mrs. Swanson and Mr. Burkhead, they have property east of Viola, and he wanted me to hit them up. And I did one day, and they said it was okay. But you fish at Lee Bell's sometimes?
I have fished at Mr. Bell's. He had a fish kill out there a couple of years ago, so I haven't been there for a while. But I fish out in the Buffalo Prairie area. I have a couple of friends in Sherrard. Mr. Al Collins, who's a very close friend of mine, spend a lot of time on the water. Don't keep a lot of the fish that I catch, but I do have a senior softball team that I manage, and I have a fish fry for them every year. I spend a lot of time on the water.
So, wait, I thought we were going to talk about senior softball today. What? So let's talk about the connection and the relationships that we have. I tell everybody you can't have, like, You can't have everything in common with your mom and dad. I don't like the outdoors. I readily admit I don't like to hunt and fish. But my connection that I have with my father now is playing senior softball on Wednesday nights in the summer. What is it, from May or right. April to, well, this year, like, dragged on to December because there were so many rainouts. That's my connection. That's something I don't miss. I mark on my calendar. I say, whatever I have, I'm clearing that day because I'm playing. That's my connection. So what about this senior? And by the way, my dad's in the Quad City Senior Hall of Fame. So what about playing on Wednesday nights? Well, you don't play that much anymore. You played a few times this year. And my dad almost got into a fight with the Augie senior softball team. So they owe Ty free tuition out there. No, it wasn't a fight. But some guys get cranky and take it too serious. We're just a bunch of guys that get together, and we know we're well past our prime. So what about this group of people we assemble to play 15 over softball?
Yeah, well,
it's a pretty neat cross section of people.
I've been playing senior softball since I was 53, and I'm well into my 70s now. It's more about the socializing than the softball, really. I mean, we play a game, but after the game, we spend an inordinate amount of time over mostly Busch Light or Bud Lights,
Especially Bush Lake.
And, we have a pretty good crew of guys. Really do. Have a lot of fun and don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, and like the family connection there too is Jeff Francis plays with us, who's from Orion and related to us. And I think about, you know, even our Alito connection this year, one of the people we picked up that doesn't live in Alito anymore is sweet swinging Kenny Berthold played with us. But, yeah, it's a great time, and I'm glad I've been able to do that. So let's talk about – go ahead. Why don't you go to any of our games, by the way, Mom? You go to all the Ty and Tessa's
games. I've gone to your
never go to our – and Nikki never goes to the senior softball games.
You know, Jim, though, I've gone to your dad's game since he was 18 years old. And remember when he played league ball, well, they called it Tavern League?
Yeah, you can say that.
And remember, we used to drag you kids to all those games. I mean, the whole summer was
Yeah, don't be softball. Concerned about saying we tell people that if you're an adult, you drink responsibly. That's how it is
here,
even as we talk on
But remember they played out at Blackhawk College?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And Black you kids
Hawk
played
Park.
In
Blackhawk
the
State Park, you
Black
mean,
Hawk
yeah.
State Park. And you could, everybody took their kids. And it was just, you enjoyed it. That's all you knew. That's all you and Scott knew.
Yeah, and that's how Ty Tess and Tatum and Tegan, all they know is growing up around high school sports with my
That's all you kids knew.
All right, let's talk about background, all right? Like where the roots are from. So you were X-ray technician. And now a lot of our people will get a kick out of this because you started the TB Sanitarium, right?
In at Rock the TB Sanitarium, right? That was
so. A lot of our old listeners will, like the new generation listeners, are like, "What in the world are they talking about?" We're talking about tuberculosis sanitarium,
right? I worked there 2 or 3 days, I think, a week when you were a baby.
And then you went X-ray technician at Illini Hospital.
Then I went to Illini Hospital, and I was there till probably you started kindergarten.
And you trained in La Salle, Peru, right?
No, I trained at Moline Public Hospital.
Did you have to go to some schooling somewhere? Or where?
Oh, yeah, Moline Public.
Okay.
We took training there. It was 2 years. And then my first job was in Peru, Illinois. And then they had an opening back here at Lutheran Hospital, and I took it and come back.
All right. And my roots, too, my late grandfather, father on my mother's side was plant manager at International Harvester. My late grandfather on my father's side, longtime employee of John Deere. My father worked first day of work, do you remember, at International Harvester?
Certainly do. September the 8th, 1959.
Wow. Yeah. And basically you were there until the last day that...
Until August the 31st of 2004.
So, you know, as we get a little more serious here, do you think people understand how the kind of the, because this is interesting, it's more of a sports related, it's beyond sports. Do you think people in this area understand really how kind of the complexion and the demographics of the market have changed? In terms of like, when I went to Allman High School in the 80s and went to Hampton Elementary, I would say, at least 7 out of 10 kids, their dads worked at John Deere, International Harvester, or Farmall.
That's correct.
Oh,
so, that's correct.
And that would be what now?
And or then, the
and
Arsenal,
even,
too.
Well, even Caterpillar had a more of a presence in the Quad Cities back in the 70s.
In Mountjoy, yes.
So, yep. And today, that would be maybe 2 of 10, 3 of 10, if that.
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a sad situation, really.
Well, and so people that don't realize, International Harvester in East Moline no longer stands, completely
yes.
demolished.
At right? one time, our plant had 3,500 people working in it. 3,500. That's a lot of jobs.
Yeah, well, and then you never, when they talk about with what it's replaced with, so you go to whether it's a residential or retail development, the net gain, you never get the net gain, is what I'm saying. That's how the Quad Cities has changed so dramatically. With those 3,500 jobs that were in that plant, the demographics of what it's been replaced with, you just don't get that back.
No, you don't.
And that's why I tell people as you get older that I understand as you become a preservationist and why I grew up, and then when I'm in East Moline and I see that plant not there anymore, that's tough. So what does that mean to you when you drive down there? Not only you, but a lot of guys.
Oh, a lot of people, yeah. It's a sad, it's really a sad sight because I spent 44 years on that plant.
And my dad was there for years, and I think of him every time I drive by there. I think, what would he think? You know.
Yeah. So it's. So I'll ask you. I was talking to Rita Frazier, and she said, you know, one of the toughest interviews that you would have in your life is interviewing your parents. So I said, oh, I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to do it. So you did what at Case IH, International Harvester. So explain your job.
Most of my career, let's say I started as like a clerk when I first went in there. And that was in early 60s, late 50s. Worked in the clerical end of the business. At that time, we were self-insured. So we had to process all of our own hospital claims, disability claims, and whatever. I worked in the insurance department for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I was an employment interviewer during the heyday of the ag business. That was in the late 60s. Went on a training program in the 70s and became a supervisor in the materials area. Worked in there for the majority of my career. Retired on a severance deal in 2000. They called me back, said, would you come back on contract for a while? That was for a couple of months, and I ended up staying 4 years until the plant closed.
Yeah.
So very thankful for Case IH and International Harvester.
So you
we were lucky.
You were there the very last day that the...
That's correct.
So the other thing I think people don't realize about when I've talked to people in the industry before is that basically when they talk about manufacturing, it's a little bit of a misnomer now, because basically the combines or whatever there are, the tractors, they're basically assembled there now, where the parts are basically supplied from somewhere. Is that, what was it? Was it always were the parts manufactured in the initial days and assembled there?
Yes. Yeah, we had a machine shop, press room, foundry. But you know, as the years went on, a lot of the jobs got farmed out to places like General Grind, East Moline Metals, George Evans Corporation, Tri-City Fab. I mean, we had like two stake truck drivers that went around and delivered parts to the plating place, the outside foundry. They'd go pick up parts. They'd bring them back to the plant. Yeah, a lot of jobs went out, but, you know, we assembled combines, cotton pickers, planters, corn heads, grain heads. I mean, we did everything related to ag at our plant.
Amen. All right, so, and then I still remember growing up with the old International Harvester Scouts. We had a lot of those.
Yes.
Those are like a blast from the past. And I mean, we took the family vacation in those all the time. So, so we talk about like family connections, and I think about, you know, I think about my late grandfather, Floyd Taylor, my dad's dad, when, you know, you can't root for the Cubs and you can't root for the Hawkeyes. And then I think about my poor daughters going to Iowa next year, so I have to
Grandpa.
Root for them a little bit. Our roots are, you know, Illinois basketball and football. I continue to root for them. Of course, I root for...
But we will root for Iowa.
I don't know if Dad will. I began as a Cardinal fan growing up, because that's where our family... vacation centered around. But do you want to tell how people always ask how I became a Houston Astro fan?
Oh yeah, I can remember. I don't remember what game it was when we went down to see the Cardinals. And I don't know, you were probably what, 10?
Probably younger than that.
11, maybe younger than that. And I even remember where we were sitting down, like out, I think it was in right field. Was it?
Oh, you're talking about when they gave me that Jose Cruz sign ball. But I'm talking about how I became a fan from Jose Cruz got traded from the Cardinals to the Astros, and that's how I became a fan of the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Were you rooting for the Astros?
The World Series.
Yeah, I was for the World Series for sure.
All right,
I was,
so
yeah.
What about coming out here? So as we have a few minutes left. What about coming out here and partaking in life in Mercer County and kind of following the local athletic scene with Ty and Tess?
We wouldn't have missed it for nothing. I wish it could start all over again.
Yeah,
we love it. That's our entertainment.
I used to officiate high school basketball.
Are you a better official than Marty Flaherty and Joe Thompson?
I am. I hope so. Yeah, I know I'm better than Marty Flaherty. Joe Thompson, I don't know.
Brian Hutt would agree.
Well, anyway, the only time that I was ever in Aledo was when I was officiating, and it was maybe a couple of three times during those days. And when Jim took the job out here, I came back, became acquainted with a lot of people following first Ty and then Tess, but probably Ty because he was playing baseball on a traveling team, and I can remember going to Omaha and Chicago and O'Fallon and playing with Connor and Gage and Brad Garrett. And
you're talking about Connor Sharp too, and Gage Hank.
Yep. And met a lot of their parents.
Great parents.
I remember one of the highlights, really, of watching sports was the shot heard round the world by Connor Sharp against Weathersfield.
Yeah, he banked it in from the corner.
One of the shots heard round the world. And his dad, of course, I became acquainted with his dad and mom. And in fact, a couple weeks ago when I was out in Riverdale, Tom Sharp was there with Stacy, and I tried to recruit him for our softball team.
You know why?
And he told me he thinks he's still, a great fast pitch player. He said, well, it would interfere with my fast pitch. So he turned me down. So he'll never be recruited again. That's it for me.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, too, about, like, it was funny. I had Coach Walter on today, when Tyus and Aaliyah played with Tess and Ty. And I think about one of the great moments of Dad. we were involved in like youth sports, and I don't know if you remember this. Welter and I talk about this all the time. Oh. Tess and Aaliyah must have been the year before they left, and we were playing a game in the it was coach pitch. All right, we were playing a game, and Tess's team was okay, and we played a game the week before. We were playing Orion, and like the way the rules work, you can score max 5 runs an inning, so 5-5-5. It's 5 runs, then 10 runs the fifth inning. So it's like max 30. And I think we scored 30 the week before we played them. So we're playing them in a rematch in the tournament. And so it's like a struggle. And it, of course, just like youth sports always is, expect the unexpected. So we're basically losing and trying to come back. And it's like the last inning or the second to the last inning. And I remember Aaliyah Welter was up and I was pitching. And the bases were loaded and there were 2 outs. And she hits this rocket in the air to left field. And I'm like, if that hits that kid in left field, she'll never play softball again because it's going to hurt her. And she'll never want to play again. Well, it's one of those moments where the ball goes right in her glove. And Dad's keeping score for us. He's keeping the book for us in the dugout. So that's the inning. The inning's over. And I walk in the dugout, and he looks at me, and I have my glove. He goes, are you kidding me? And then we lose the game. And I'm like, yeah, it's just moments like that that are so great. So you mentioned Tom Sharp, but you got to see Ty play for Nat Zunkel. You got to see Ty play for Brian Hutton.
Gary Kressel for the Red Devils. And
we just still miss it.
Yeah. Well, you got to watch Tess, though.
That's right. Tessie Wright.
So what about the Eagles? Girls basketball, you're going to be at Erie next week, rooting on the Eagles,
Oh, for
right?
sure. We'll be at Erie. Mm-hmm. Right. Wednesday, I think they play Wednesday night.
Wednesday
and
night.
Thursday, yeah.
They're going to win the Workins Cardinal
That's
Classic.
Right.
All right. Well, we're running out of time. So any closing comments? WRMJ now is the best radio station. We know you think that, right?
Right. Oh, for sure.
Ty's the best.
We always listen when Ty's on.
Ty's the best male athlete. Oh, that's right. Your favorite employee at WRMJ.
That's right.
Ty's the best male athlete you've ever seen play, and Tess is the best female athlete.
That's right. And we always have our radio set on WRMJ.
Probably right.
Don't we?
Preach.
And we got a new radio, so we can get you in clear.
And you know, Jim always talks about the mean streets of Hampton. That is a true statement. That is a true. We don't even have Christmas lights in Hampton because they get shot out.
I got out of that neighborhood. Thanks, you. Thanks, Mom and Dad. All right, Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
All right, that is Tom and Sheila Taylor from 4th Street A. We will wrap it up with the Jim and Brian segment. Pat Lower also makes an appearance.